Well, where to start? Aboriginal culture, many of you might know, it really depends on where you're from for the intricacies of each particular group. We don't generalise, we do not have one single god. We do not have someone that we look up to in that way or worship in that way. The land itself we worship, the animals we worship, not in the same sense as Europeans use the word worship, so it's not we connect with them in any way, it's just the fact that without them we wouldn't survive. So I guess what I'm going to tell you today is more of a generalised concept. There are over 500 different nations or clans within Australia, and each one has its own specific stories of creation or creation time, which is the dream time. We don't actually have a word in our language, and that's all Aboriginal language for time. But the common knowledge is dream time, so that's our creation time. So we have creation beings and a creation time. Now, specific to where you're from, I'm, like I said, from northern New South Wales, up at the Tweed Valley. So I will talk specifically about mine and give you a few generalised concepts that are throughout all Aboriginal culture. So we, as humans, are descendants of ancestral beings. Now, they're the beings that were given all the laws, the customs, the ceremony, the songs, the places, and what you needed to do to maintain those things from the creation beings. Now, the creation beings, I know this is, I'm trying to be as specific as I can, creation beings were basically animals. So we have giant kangaroos and giant wombats and those sorts of things that had human characteristics. So what they had were the consciousness of others, the consciousness of the environment, and those sorts of things. Now those beings could take on the form of human or of animal or of plant. Now they were the ones that then gave our ancestral beings, who took the form of human, all the knowledge that we have. So when I say I'm a descendant of the Minjumbul people of northern New South Wales, that goes right back. Now we're all born with a totem, which is an animal, for either the group or for self. So my tribal totem is the goanna. Now what that means is we are descendants of the creation beings, the goanna. So our family line and our traditional line goes all the way back to the first goanna and the spirit that comes from that. So we have the strengths and weaknesses of that particular animal. We are then born with a totem that is specific to ourselves. So I'm actually the king parrot. I didn't like that when I was growing up, going, what is a king parrot? I wanted something more elaborate. But it's actually become who I am, and that's part of it. Yeah, you're given a totem when you're born, and those characteristics are to describe who you were going to become and the strengths and weaknesses that you will have. So for me, I'm actually very much the homebody. So when I'm at home, I'm as daggy as, I sit back, I hardly talk, all those sorts of things. But when I'm on show, because I was running a business and I do a lot of lectures and talks and things, I'm bright, like the king parrot when you see it. It's quite bright with the red breast. But if you saw it in a nest, you'd only see the green and it blends in with its environment. So I think I have become my totem. My name also is part of who I am. So we're given a name as well. We're also given a job, I suppose, is the best way to describe it. This is all when you're born, traditionally. So you are responsible. I'm responsible not to harm the king parrot, because that's my totem. If it was an animal we ate, I wouldn't be able to eat that particular animal. That encourages the fact that not all that tribe is going to eat out all the goannas or eat out all a specific plant or animal within your environment. So that's why you're given those totems as well. It's your responsibility to look after that environment and that particular animal. Your name is given to you as a responsibility for your place in life. So, you know, certain people will have the responsibility of the visual work. Some will have the responsibility of the song lines. Now, song lines are where the ancestral beings actually walked and where all these laws came from across the land. We also are given places, you know, there's certain families will be, you know, look after water holes or mountains or those sorts of things. Then there's generalised ones that we all look after. But basically, everyone is born to a role and a responsibility within the group. We have a holistic view that we are part of the environment, but we have the consciousness to know right from wrong and how to make sure it's maintained. So that's where we get those responsibilities. And all our laws and customs are about the place in land, how the animals are connected with us and us with them. All our dreaming stories, which is basically our books, but it's all verbal. Our dreaming stories tell us when we can and can't do things, what we should or shouldn't do. Who has the right, you know, there's men's business and women's business, who has the right to do those things and who doesn't? So we have dreaming stories that tell us when we can eat and catch crab. We have dreaming stories, you know, one of my paintings here with the dolphins, about how to go out and sing to the dolphin, and the dolphins would come into the shore rounding up all the fish. So it's not just the song, we would know, okay, that plant is flowering. So we don't have seasons as in time like Europeans, but we can look at a plant and go, that's flowering, therefore the mullet's running or such and such is happening. So everything is interconnected, and that's our source of knowledge is from our environment. So the songs and the stories and the dance and the ceremonies are all about the place and passing down that knowledge. It's also based on everything having a spirit. Now, it's an essence. It's not like a soul. I don't know whether there's a difference for you in between those sorts of things. The spirit's more like an energy force or an essence of life within everything living. So when you're on land, that land has that essence of power or energy as well. And if any of you have ever seen Bora rings, which are where our sacred circles are, where we have celebration and dance and those sorts of things, nothing grows within that area. Whether it's used, you know, regularly or not, I mean, I know up in the Tweed, there's still a Bora ring where nothing grows except for the grass. You know, no trees, it's covered, surrounded by forest, but there's no trees or anything grow. Now that's all about the songs and ceremony that we sing. We're actually talking to the land and we're imparting that energy to the land. So that land then becomes a source of energy for us on whatever it is we're talking about. So if it's a healing place, then those songs and those dance and those actions you do are all about putting that healing energy into the ground. So when you go there for ceremony or for healing, that energy is imparted back to you. And that's happened over, obviously, thousands of years. You can still feel it. You can still feel the presences of those sorts of things in different areas. I know for a fact I do. It may be that I'm just in tune to it. but basically, that's how it works. So if we kill something, we do ceremony to give thanks for that. And we also do an action. Sometimes different groups will actually put their gizzards and those sorts of things back into the soil to enrich the soil, making sure that the plants regrow and that that animal survives. So it's a continual thing like that. We look at the environment for when the seasons are changing, when the foods are coming, when they're going to be plentiful. You know, if the kangaroos, if they're very scarce, then we know food's not plentiful, so we don't hunt that kangaroo at that particular time. So everything's interconnected, and we are all spiritual beings. So what actions we do is supposed to be for the holistic viewpoint of the whole environment being sustained and continuing to live. I hope I gave you some. There's so much that I could tell you. I'm trying to keep it short, otherwise we'd be talking for hours.
Did you want to say anything about a couple of the paintings?
Yeah, in that same respect of our dreaming stories and past and present and our connection to animals, when I paint, rather than just doing traditional stories, such as, you know, how the goanna came to be or why the platypus has the bill, all those sorts of things. What I do now, these days, is actually tell people's personal stories. When I ran the business, I used to do corporate theming, so large organisations would give me their mission statement and what their conference was about. I would do an Aboriginal image depicting that story, give them a dreaming story that reflected their main purpose. And that's what I do now, but on a personal note. So I do people's personal stories, and I use the knowledge of my culture and the totems and connection to land and place in order to translate anybody's story into an Aboriginal image. And what I do from that is, on that energy level, because when I talk to people, I'll pick up certain things that they may not say, but I can feel it from them. I will get, you know, if I'm trying to use an example without giving someone's dreaming story away, I'll get a sense of what is important to them through the information they give me, but also through their presence. And then I'll translate that in the dreaming story. So the main purpose, if it's family, it might be the fact that, say it's the woman, has a fear that, you know, her children won't succeed or something. So I'll have it in the dreaming story that comes through. And I don't know how to explain how that happens, because as soon as I read the information and connect with you enough, I feel like you're part of who I am, and the story and the image come together. And that's what a lot of these are, both personal stories, stories from home, images for international conferences that I've done. And again, with art as well, it's all connected back to land, because our symbols, our traditional symbols, are all the impression that is left on the earth. So the U shape that you see in a lot of Aboriginal art is a person, and it's, if you sit cross-legged in the dirt and then stand up and draw a line around the impression left, it's that U shape. All of our symbology is about looking at an aerial view down at the earth and the impression that's been left on the earth from whatever it is, whether it's a campsite or whatever. So again, it's all connected back to land.